A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Joined now by a feature writer for thedraftnetwork.com, Chrissy Freud, who had a great piece on Zach Wilson. Talk about that more with Chrissy right now. So, Chrissy, welcome on into the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, excited to talk to you. You know all things quarterback play in college and NFL. You've done great work with thedraftnetwork.com, and you put together a piece on Zach Wilson. And I'm kind of curious to kind of pick your brain as to when you started to study Zach Wilson as a potential highly sought-after NFL draft pick, because his rise was meteoric this past year. When did you start diving into Zach Wilson?
Yeah, it was honestly toward the end of the season, because I'm so focused on my SEC guys. The quarterback rankings for that conference I do weekly during the season, and that's a lot to keep up with, especially with this past season, we had a lot of guys throughout the conference get injured. So it's not just 14 quarterbacks you're looking at. There's a lot of battles going on. Like I said, the injuries. So you get more between the realm of like between 20 and 25. So that's a lot. On top of covering the Tennessee Titans and LSU at the same time, that is a lot of football players to keep up with in detail. So it was toward the end of the season that I kind of started to scope out the other quarterbacks as far as how I'm going to rank these guys heading into the draft. And the more I looked at Zach Wilson, the more that I realized there was very little flaw in his game. And the more that I saw a comparison to Joe Burrow and the rise that Joe Burrow made. And so that was kind of something that I asked his dad about, was about kind of the film that he did study and any of the comparisons that were there. And it just so happened that he had the whole, I want to say, at least one season of Joe Burrow's games downloaded on his iPad for him. And he watched every single one of them, I want to say somewhere in the realm of 5 to 7 times. And then he had this, and it's in the story, it's kind of what the story is centered around, really, is he has this ability to mimic pretty much anything that he sees. It's not like, oh, like this guy watches tape and he learns from it. He goes on the field and he's a better quarterback. Like that's one thing that I feel like a lot of people do, but this is different. The way that it was described to me was in such detail, in a way that it's been even surprising for his dad to watch as he's grown up. But since he was 7 or 8 years old, they had a basketball hoop in the basement. And Zach would watch these YouTube videos and literally replicate exactly what he saw. And it was from that moment that his dad was like, I don't know how he does it, but he has this ability to replicate things with his own body. And he's been doing that ever since that time in the basement with the basketball videos. And it makes so much sense, too, because when I asked about the film that he watches and who he watches the most, it kind of came down to the Rodgers, the Mahomes, and Burrow. And if you notice through the comparisons, those are the guys that he most gets compared to. I think it's funny too, because whenever we asked Joe Burrow about the film that he watched a lot, Aaron Rodgers was like the primary person that he named. So I think that that's funny that they kind of, him and Joe kind of have the same taste in what they watch. So I think that just there are certain things that he can do that it's just this natural ability. Almost kind of like the way that we saw Tua Tagovailoa do things with a natural ability as opposed to a totally learned ability. Although I do think that he's good in the mental aspect as well.
Talking about Zach Wilson with Chrissy Freud from thedraftnetwork.com, and you've noted that, you know, you cover the SEC, LSU, you saw Joe Burrow in person. What are the similarities between Zach and Joe Burrow, in your opinion, from the film study that you've seen on both?
I think a lot of it comes down to mental processing. I think that they both have a very, very high level of mental processing, which is why they're able to go out and do the things that they do. I think that they can make throws down the sideline into tight windows. And I think that there's, what I look at as a whole is just all the tangibles, the intangibles that are there, and the way that they were able to kind of come from, I don't want to say like ground zero, but from relatively unknown prospects, all the way up to the top. And one thing that I think was specifically noted, that Zach was taking, specifically speaking from the tape, was the back shoulder throws and trying to make his, just have the ability to throw his receivers open a little bit better. He actually had a phone conversation with his dad about that in particular. So it was, when he looks at the tape, like there are very specific things that he likes about these quarterbacks that he's after, and he zeroes in on those and just kind of like plucks it and puts it into his own toolbox, which I think is crazy. But it's obviously worked out for him.
It definitely has, and he's going to be a highly high pick in coming up in the 2021 NFL draft, which is a unique year for the quarterback class. So many QBs could potentially go in the top five, maybe three, four guys we could see in that top five. What do your QB rankings look like for this 2021 draft? Where does Zach Wilson sit amongst your rankings?
I have him at number one. I believe I was actually the first person to ever put him at number one, and I caught no shortage of slander for that. I want to say it was no more than 2 days later that the first sources from within the league and then some of these bigger analysts started saying that they might put Zach Wilson above Trevor Lawrence. But I hadn't seen it. When I did it, I didn't expect to get that much smoke from it, but I expected to get a little bit of pushback. And it was just kind of annoying, though, to watch these people rank him above Trevor Lawrence and not really hear much of anything. It was like, oh, why would you do that? That's crazy. And then me, it was like just, I don't even know how to describe it. It was awful in my comments. Like I had so much, probably like, I want to say I had somewhere over like 100 responses, like between quote tweets and replies.
Oh, wow.
Of just negativity and like questioning my credibility and saying that like I didn't have the right to do this job and like stuff along those lines. Like it was, I kind of caught the brunt of having that taken. It seems like everyone else, like I don't want to accuse anybody of like copying me or anything, but it was just kind of funny how that happened right after. And then suddenly everybody's like, oh, okay. Like, yeah, I can see it. And I'm like, oh, why couldn't you see it whenever I said it?
Someone had to break the ice and put him number one. And then it started to happen. And you had to take some of the heat for that because, yeah, I mean, Trevor Lawrence has always been viewed as that, you know, cliche generational talent. I think he definitely is going to be, he's going to have an impressive career. I got to think in the NFL, but maybe what gave Wilson the edge for you over Trevor Lawrence, who's always been viewed as the future number one pick?
Well, just a word about that really quick is that I think that there are so many, and the reason why we have so many of these top picks that don't pan out, people are so shocked, and we have these late round guys that do pan out and do super, super well, and that people are shocked equally in that aspect, is just because it almost becomes, you have players that, like, I guess become trendy, that for lack of better terminology there, and it becomes to where there's such a large portion of like the larger media and respected people that all kind of have grouped together and made this guy at this particular ranking or between these particular numbers in this range. And suddenly, like, you're going to get criticized if you deviate from that whatsoever. Like when I look at my rankings, and I was talking about this with somebody else not too long ago, is you also have to think about the court of public opinion. There are some guys that are sleepers in this class, in my opinion, that I have ranked pretty low. And I put them as high as I possibly can without just getting absolutely dragged for it. But secretly in my head, I believe that they'll do better than some of the guys that have higher. So whenever you do these rankings, you have to kind of, I guess, find the middle ground between what your gut tells you, like who you would put in if you were the coach, and what popular opinion is. Because if you deviate too much from popular opinion, I feel like you almost, in a way, lose credibility in the eye of the general public as a whole.
That's a great point. Talking with Chrissy Freud here on KSL News Radio. What were you saying something else there, Chrissy?
Oh, I was going to actually answer your question.
Okay,
So the way that I put it in short term for people is that Trevor Lawrence, to me, he looks like he was built in a quarterback lab. There is nothing I would change about him physically, and I gain so much more appreciation for this mobility that he has. I feel like people don't appreciate enough about him after the national championship, because I don't think that Trevor Lawrence is a generational player in the way that Joe Burrow is, because I watched those two right up against each other and he just didn't compare for me. But I think that aside from, you know, getting locked onto one read sometimes, that Lawrence does pretty much everything that you want from a quarterback. But I think that he's become one of those players that everyone else has Trevor Lawrence at number one, so now we can't put anybody else at number one because it's been so popular for so long. But I think that it's only by a hair, but I think that Zach Wilson maybe has him beat just a little bit mentally, and he has a little bit more natural ability, in my opinion.
Do you get worried at all about Zach, the competition he faced at BYU? Does that concern you at all when you watch, you know, BYU games and you see him going up against Texas State, La Tech? I mean, UTSA, some teams that maybe the casual sports fan doesn't know. But, I mean, does that concern you about potentially translating to the NFL?
No, it doesn't, and I'll tell you why. Because I think that this general take of, oh, well, he faced lesser competition, so Trevor Lawrence faced bigger competition, so therefore, regardless how close they are, Trevor Lawrence must be better by some margin. Well, that's not necessarily true, because whenever I'm playing in the conference that Clemson is in, and I see Trevor Lawrence's supporting cast, it's so much more solid, and these receivers typically have so many more steps on these defenders, whereas Zach Wilson is having to make some of these really tough throws on several more occasions than Trevor Lawrence ever has to. So it goes both ways. You have a much lesser supporting cast at BYU and then a much higher supporting cast at Clemson. And even if you go back down through Zach's like high school career and stuff, like Utah typically doesn't have very great linemen. They don't typically produce quarterbacks, just around the area that he was in. Like, they don't really produce quarterbacks or good linemen, and I just got the sense that the supporting cast was never truly all that it could be in some other regions, even going back to high school. So this is an issue that he's always dealt with, and he's always really shined, regardless of that, on top of all the other adversity he's faced, which is another thing that I feel like a lot of people don't really give him enough credit for, is just how hard his journey really was. Like, they just watch this one year, like, oh, he shot up, and then, you know, there's the rumors and this kind of, in my opinion, false narrative that's been built around him based on character as well.
Chrissy Freud's my guest for a few more moments here. What do you think of the fit potentially with the Jets? Do you think it's going to work out for Zach there? I mean, because the Jets' history, it's just not good at quarterback. I mean, you have to go back to Sanchez for those few years when they got him to the AFC Championship game in back-to-back years, but he was surrounded by a really good team in those couple years with Rex Ryan. Do you think it can work out in New York for Zach?
I mean, I think it's going to be difficult. As you did mention, the track record, it's just hard. It's hard to literally imagine anyone, regardless of how good they are, going to the Jets and being successful. But at some point, it's going to have to be done. And I think that this is a very rare, very skilled player. And I think that he brings enough to the table for it to work out. But I think that they're also going to have to make sure that they build around him correctly, because I've seen several quarterbacks that either go somewhere else and have a phenomenal career, or that kind of give you the sense that they were kind of carrying the team, but one person isn't enough whenever you've got however many on the roster. So I'll be interested to see how it goes, but I think that the Jets are a team that they've had a lot of issues throughout the past, and I think that it's just going to take them building around him properly.
So you do a lot of extensive research and reporting on quarterbacks, feature writer again for thedraftnetwork.com. From all the heralded high-profile quarterback prospects that you've interviewed and featured over the years, what are maybe some, you know, traits or things that kind of are in common with a lot of these quarterbacks that you profile over the years?
I'd say just being very gifted mentally. A lot of them have the ability to go off script, and a lot of the ones that I've worked with and seen really succeed, they're not necessarily flashy, but they have the essentials and the fundamentals. And I think that the primary thing outside of the mental aspect is accuracy. I mean, if you have a quarterback who cannot throw the ball accurately at all levels of the field, then quite frankly, you don't have a true quarterback.
And do you think that the NFL ever goes back to, you know, just the typical 6'4", 6'5", drop back passer? Because, I mean, you still look in the Super Bowl last year. I mean, Tom Brady, he's in his 40s. Patrick Mahomes is he's a good athlete, but he's still pass first guy. I mean, he's not going to go out of the pocket unless he needs to. Do you feel like, you know, there's ever going to be this shift? Because if you look at the current 2021 class, it's all these mobile guys, and Mac Jones is kind of being knocked a little bit because he's not that mobile guy like a Zach Wilson or a Trevor Lawrence or a Trey Lance. What do you think of maybe the future of the position? Will it continue to be these great athletes being atop the boards?
Yeah, I think if given the proper opportunity that Mac Jones brings enough to the table mentally, and I think I spoke to someone who worked with him at Alabama, and we were kind of comparing between Mac Jones and Tua Tagovailoa, and that they were on an equal talent level, but that Mac just brought so much to the table mentally that most of his stuff was learned as opposed to pure natural ability, where that's kind of where Tua leans toward. And I think that Mac has the ability to really impress a lot of people with that, as I said, if he's put in the right place. I like the mobility aspect in terms of having enough mobility to create space to throw. I think you should be able to move that much. But I think there should always be a place for the pure pocket pass in the NFL, because the way that I see it, if your quarterback is constantly running around and that's kind of your offense, then to me that tells me something about your supporting cast. Because I'm just of the opinion that if your supporting cast is superior and good enough to the level that they need to be, then you don't need your quarterback to run the ball on every single play. And a lot of the offenses that I've watched, including at the college level, where it's usually based around quarterback runs, it's because their supporting cast is lacking. When you see them switch over to something else, like a different scheme, then perhaps you'll realize that they were lacking during that time period. But yeah, I mean, I'd like to see the NFL kind of move a little bit away from that, because my personal preference, I don't like the whole running quarterback thing, and I would hate to see certain teams with quarterbacks that are, I mean, teams that are basing the offense around the quarterback running whenever he's not as good as he should be as a passer.
Well, that's fantastic. And hopefully one day BYU and LSU can cross paths again, and BYU can actually cross the 50-yard line. Like, that was probably the worst game of quarterback play and just all-around play that I've ever seen BYU play. So that's a bucket list. I'm hoping one day I can see BYU in Death Valley. That's a bucket list item for me, so I'm hoping that that day can come eventually. But, Chrissy, I've always enjoyed your work from afar. Appreciate you hopping on with me, and looking forward to your draft coverage as well moving forward into the draft.
Thank you.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.